And I invite you to stand with me, if you would, in respect to the Word of God, and then we'll pray. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Father, I thank you today for what our ears have heard and what our eyes have seen and what our hearts have experienced. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would not soon forget what we've heard. But I pray tonight, as Brother Fisher talked about fear, that you would allow me to maybe put the frosting on that cake. And tonight that we would realize that there is fear that is right and there is fear that is good. And I pray tonight, if there be a lost person in our midst, that their fear would be that of dying without Jesus Christ and burning forever in eternal lake of fire. And Father, tonight I pray for every Christian that's represented here, that you would speak to our hearts, touch our lives, and help us, Lord, to trust you more than ever before. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory for what we see tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing when Brother Fisher got up here and began to speak of what he spoke on was the topic of fear. And that's what I want to ask tonight. And for those of you that have not been here, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, I started a series on Sunday and emphasized the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll say this to the preachers today, and I'm not going to apologize. We've been intimidated for too many years. We've been intimidated for too many years about the topic of the Spirit of God. I think that we ought to be teaching, we ought to be preaching, we ought to be emphasizing the Spirit of God in our lives. And yesterday we looked in depth at the person of the Spirit. We looked at the positions the Spirit holds and then the power of the Spirit of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit has got so much power we don't realize, and it's at our disposal, but so often we don't use it because we don't know about it. But I want you to notice here about what Paul said in verse 3. He said, "I was with you in weakness and in what? Fear." Paul had fears in his life. I mentioned yesterday evening about this, and I posed the question as well, and it all has to do with the Holy Spirit. I asked last night this question, what evidence do you possess of being a Spirit-filled Christian? And then I asked, were you filled with the Spirit of God right now? We all ought to ask ourselves that. And we oughtn't be afraid of that question. We ought to ask it and desire to know the truth, that we can have the power and the presence of God in our life. But I want you to see this afternoon in the next few minutes about Paul, of what he feared. I think Paul, without a doubt, was one of the greatest Christians and loved God with all his heart and every part of his being. And his greatest desire was to please God above everything else upon this earth. Yet Paul had fears. And they're probably not the fears like we think of tonight, but they were fears nevertheless. He didn't fear the fact that God was still his heavenly Father. That was not a fear. He did not fear that he was still saved or he could lose his salvation. That was not an issue of fear. He did not fear man or what man could do. He did not fear criticism or persecution. Paul didn't even fear death. And let me just say this for all of us, and I need it as well. All of those things were taken care of in Christ. Amen? When he died on the cross and we got saved, he covered all of that, and we have no need to fear any part of those things. And those were not the things that Paul feared. And there are many in here tonight, you probably have your own fears. And we could go, I went online and I looked up the word fear, and it came up and it gives the word phobia. That's a definition of fear, of phobia. And here's what a phobia is, and I want you as Christians to listen. It's an anxiety disorder characterized by extreme and irrational fear, now listen, of simple things. What is something that is of a large magnitude to a person who is saved, born again? What should we fear? What is there to fear if we are walking with God and the Spirit of God has filled our life and we're trusting Him? What is there to fear? And we need to realize that. Let me give you some phobias tonight that people fear. There were pages and pages of phobia. Ablutophobia, that's a fear of bathing. Hope you don't have that one. Acluophobia, the fear of darkness. Acrophobia, the fear of heights. Agliophobia, the fear of pain. I don't really like pain a whole lot, amen? Bogeyphobia, you know what that is? That's a fear of the boogeyman, amen? And then there's chiroptophobia. That's the fear of bats. Boy, a lot of women, they don't like the bats. You know, they fly around and you think they're going to get in your hair. They don't want to get in that mess. And then here's another one, dentophobia. Anybody got an idea what that is? That's a fear of dentists. And then there's ecclesiophobia. That's the fear of church. I hope you don't have that one. And then here's jurascophobia. That's the fear of getting old. It's going to happen to everybody. And then here's one, hatophobia. I hope you fear this one. That's the fear of hell. And then here's another, ligrophobia, the fear of loud noises. And then there's zemophobia. That's the fear of wrath. That's just a couple. But everybody in here tonight probably fears something as a Christian, but for you and I that are saved, in most cases, our fears are unfounded and unnecessary. And I don't care what it is, how great it is, I don't care what you think of how bad and how serious it can get, for you and I as Christians, there should not be those kind of fears that trouble us. Now, in Christ, we are most secure. We are secure, we should not fear the things that most people fear. But let me give you just several things tonight very quickly of what Paul feared. And these were real concerns. And these concerns that Paul had and the fears that he had ought to be the fears that we have as well. You know what his greatest fear was? His greatest fear was of sin. I wonder today, do you and I fear sin like we should? Are we afraid to fall into sin and allow sin to come into our life? I see this as we travel around the country. It's everywhere. Sin is running rampant in the world, but it's not just in the world. It's in our churches. You hear about preachers that have fallen in adultery. You hear about preachers. I heard of one recently that was an alcoholic and pastored the church and stood behind the pulpit and never gave it a thought. You hear about pornography in the ministry and men getting addicted to pornography, drugs, prescription drugs, all of that. Why don't we fear that kind of thing? Why are we not fearing sin creeping into our lives that will destroy our lives and destroy our families and destroy our ministries? Here's a definition of sin. The voluntary departure from a known rule or duty prescribed by God. Paul feared sin. Boy, how many of you in here, you fear mice? You don't like mice. Be honest about that. I'm talking about you men, too. How many men? What is it you don't like, Brother Divine? Rats. He don't mind mice. Bring all the mice you want. Fill his pocket. Don't get him around a rat. Amen? I don't know if you've stood beside Brother Divine. He's a large fellow. But he gets all tippy-toed around rats. Amen? How many of you are afraid of snakes? Anybody? Oh, look at all these big, brave people. How many of you guys are not afraid of a rattlesnake? Oh, yeah, we got one or two. My wife used to get all over me. I don't mind rattlesnakes. I like to collect their rattles, and I really hate to take their life because they have a purpose on earth, amen? We were in Wyoming when I pastored, and we were driving down this chew track one day, and this rattlesnake came out through the sand, and I jumped out, and I don't know what I had in the back. I just put it on his head, and I put my foot on his head and reached down and grabbed his tail and twisted his tail off, and I gently pitched him out into the bush. My wife said, "Woo, woo, woo." He said, "He's going to bite you. He's going to bite you." I said, "Honey, if he can get his foot out from under 240 pounds, you got a problem too." Amen? But your fear, you got a fear of snakes, you got a fear of spiders, you got a fear of bugs, and people will go absolutely berserk when they see those things that they fear. But what about when sin comes before us? And we have that temptation, whether it's on your TV or whether it's on your computer, wherever it might come, and we look at it and we stare at it and we contemplate it and we think about it, we're not even afraid anymore. I want you to look at Romans 6. And I'm going to read all these verses, all 23 verses, very quickly. But I want you to see, he was afraid that sin, if allowed, would take control of his life. And it's like Brother Fisher said, If it's not happened yet, it could happen or it will happen. If you think that you can handle sin and you can live with sin and not have a fear of sin, it's only a matter of time before that sin gets in your life and that sin takes control. And I don't care if you're a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, I don't care who it is. And we better have a fear of sin like Paul that we never fall in it or it never takes control. Look at verse number 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead or lifeless to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, what? Serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died, and he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I think we have sometimes more fear of serving God than we do of sin. We're afraid we're going to have to get involved in the work of God. We're going to have to do what the Bible says. And oh, wouldn't that be awful? Now, that's what we ought to be desiring in our lives and our hearts. But then he goes on and says this. He said, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, notice this. Neither yield you your members. By the way, nobody can make me sin. My wife cannot force me into sin. She might force me to aggravation sometime, but she doesn't make me sin. I think about how that nobody can make me do something I don't want to do. If I'm going to do it, I have to allow myself to do it. I have to yield myself. I have to submit myself. I have to present myself to that sin. And then he goes on. He says, that you yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have what? Dominion, rule, or leadership over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Why don't we fear sin as Christians? Why do we fear the mice, and why do we fear the rats and the snakes and the spiders and all the gamut that's out there that we think is going to hurt us and can harm us and damage us, when they can't do anything to us compared to what sin does? Then it goes on in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now, look at this, yield or present your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Then he says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Boy, I tell you what, sin can come, and it's everywhere, folks. It's everywhere. Drive down the road and look at the billboards. Look at the signs and look at the buildings and the businesses. You can't watch television, the commercials anymore. But yet we'll sit there and look a lot. And you know what that is? All that is tempting ourselves and allowing sin to be drawn into our life. If we would fear sin like we fear the snakes, like we fear the spiders, and like we fear the mice, and we fear the rat, do you know what? We could do a great work for God. But we get to that place sometimes in our lives, we think we're invincible, just like I did as a young person. Nothing can ever hurt me. Let me tell you, I know now that things can hurt, And I realize that sin can destroy. We should fear sin as much as anything on the face of this earth. But then I want you to see a second thing he feared. And that was, he feared that his life would not glorify God. The word glorify means this. It means to praise, to extol, to magnify, to honor. Brother McLean, he's always been refreshing to me. Every place we ever go and he comes, by the way, he sings pretty good. He plays the piano and sings. He sounds just like Jimmy Swaggart. Amen? It's good. I'm telling you, it's good. He's got that little boogie-woogie with it. Amen. But Paul feared the fact that his life would not glorify God, and that means to praise God, to extol God, to magnify God, to honor God. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 11. I want you to see what Paul's fear was. Paul did not want to end up like the rest of the world. He didn't want to end up like the rest of mankind. He wanted his influence to be greater. He wanted people to be influenced not by man and the things of man, but he wanted to be influenced by the things of God. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 11. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may what? What's that next part? May glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I think of how Paul considered everything. He considered his words. I wonder your words today, did they glorify God? I'm saying every word that came out of our mouths today, did it uplift the name of Jesus Christ? Did it glorify the Father in heaven? Was the Holy Spirit pleased with what we said? I think about our actions. Every action, it should be a concern to us that it glorifies God. I said this last night, it takes years to develop a testimony, but do you know how long it takes to destroy it? Just a second, just that quick, and it's gone. All it takes is one action, and it's not right. We don't fear the sin, and we're tempted by it, and we do something that's wrong, and the testimony's gone. I think about our attitude. Paul feared that even his attitude would not glorify God. What's your attitude right now towards all the preaching you heard today? What's your attitude toward it? Are you looking at that with a positive attitude, saying, and Lord, let me sift and let me sane all the things out of there that I need that I can use it? Or are you sitting back and saying, I got all the answers already? I think about his motives. He wanted his motives to glorify God. What are our motives in the ministry? What is our motive to do what we do? Is it God honoring? Does it bring glory to God, or is there some ulterior motive behind the scenes that nobody else sees? I think about our thoughts and our abilities. What about all that? Do our thoughts during the day as we walk along and we're thinking and we're driving, do those thoughts glorify God? And by the way, God knows every thought we have. The abilities that we have, that God has bestowed upon us to play the piano, an instrument, whatever it is, do our abilities always glorify God? That's what Paul feared. Paul feared that his life would not glorify God. And what it was is he didn't want to somehow, some way bring disgrace upon the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He never wanted anything that would draw attention away from Christ in his life. Nothing. That was his fear, but look if you would at Romans 15, and here was his personal goal. Romans 15 and verse 1 through 6, the Bible says this, and I must hurry. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them, that's talking about us, that reproach thee, that's talking about the Father fell on me, that's talking about Christ. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And look at verse 6. that you may with one mind and one mouth, what does it say? Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often do we do what we do to get the glory right here? How often? I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. If we're willing to acknowledge it and admit it, we want the glory. We want it. Oh, look what I did. Look what I said. It. Look how I acted. Oh, look! Paul feared that. Paul feared sin. And Paul feared that his life would not glorify God. I wonder what kind of fear you have today. You have a greater fear of sin or a greater fear of not glorifying God, or you got a greater fear of the mice and the rats and the spiders and the snakes? You got a greater fear that the Muslims will come in and herd us all into a building and execute us? Hey, what's there to fear about that? You say, oh, you talk real brave. No, I'd probably be shaking in my boots too. But I'll tell you, God will give us what it takes at that time if we will trust Him. And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see also that Paul feared being a castaway. Castaway is defined as a person abandoned by God as unworthy of His favor, reprobate, not standing the test. In verse number 24 of chapter 9, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a perishable crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm not out there just running to run. He said, I've got a destination before me. I'm running with a purpose. He said, I'm not like a fighter that's out there shadow boxing, punching into the air. He said, I have a definite target that I'm trying to strike. And then he goes on and he says, but I keep under my body. That's quite an amazing phrase in verse 27. It says, I keep under my body. That I keep under means to beat black and blue. Can you imagine that? He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What, subjection to what the flesh wanted? No, it was subjection under what the Lord Jesus wanted in His life. I wonder tonight, are we afraid of being a castaway? Are we afraid of being put on the shelf and put aside because we're being subject to what the flesh wants instead of what the Holy Spirit of God is dictating in our life? He says, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He buffeted himself, self-denial, that the flesh might not dominate. Paul's greatest fear was that after all he had preached and after all he had witnessed for Christ, that he would fail, end up being of no good and not bringing glory to God. You know what he said? He said, I want my soul to control the flesh and not the flesh to control the soul. We've all heard the term crackpot. In the Bible times, from what I can read, the pottery makers would do their very best to make good vessels. But there are on occasions that what they would make a vessel, whether it would be because of the clay, the hardness in the clay, maybe hard spots, or the firing process, or whatever it is, sometimes they would have a pot that would end up cracked. That's where the term crackpot come from. A crackpot was something that could not be used to hold and take care of the most precious things they had. It would not seal, and as a result, bacteria and corruption could get in and things would spoil. And so the crackpot, here's what it was. It was something usually that was just put on a shelf. It was really no good for anything. And you know what that would be in this day? That's where we'd throw our change that we had in our pocket. You guys that work in the garage, you got those bolts and you'd throw those bolts and nuts in the crack pot. And when I was a welder, that's where you would have put the 100 pounds of soapstone you accumulated over the years that went in the crack pot. Because the crack pot wasn't any good for anything else. Paul had a fear that he would end up a castaway, a crack pot for God, and he didn't want that. How many people have gone through their lives, get saved young, and they go along and they live with enthusiasm, as Brother McLean talked about today. They live like that in their life, and then they get to that point where they think they've arrived. And no longer is there any fear of sin, and no longer is there fear of not glorifying God, and no longer is there a fear of being a castaway. And how many people end up their life like Solomon? What a tragedy! I mean, God spoke to him twice and gave him more than he ever asked for. And it was because there wasn't fear in his life, the right kind of fear. Paul treated himself in a way that he would not lose sight of who he was and of whom he was serving, that he might never fail God. I don't know how much time God's got left for me, but I am more aware today of sin and not glorifying God and being a castaway than I've ever been in my whole life. And I'm not trying to point a finger at me. I'm a nobody. But this nobody wants to be what God wants him to be. And I think of what Brother Fisher said last night. You know, not popular, unknown, with no influence on anybody. That may be the case, but I want to be that nobody that God wants me to be. And if I never influence anybody, I want to keep going on without the sin. I want to keep going on glorifying God. And I don't want to be a crackpot. But then the last thing, this has got to be a record. Right, Frank? 25 minutes. Brother Fank always sits over there with a watch. He said, Brother Bill, you just went 92 minutes. But look also at Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. I want you to see also that Paul feared that men would not be saved. What do we really fear tonight? What is it that we fear, those things that cause us the great problems in our life? And when you really stop and think about what that phobia definition was, they're of small consequence. They're unnecessary. But yet everybody in here tonight, everybody, including myself, we have things we fear. Just like that hospital room. Laying in that bed and thinking, how would I ever get out of there? I could not move. That was an unnecessary fear. Because if I couldn't get out of that room and that place caught on fire and it burned up, guess what? I would have just went to heaven that much quicker. But you say, but there's still that fear. We need to turn our fear into faith and trust in what God can and will do. I want you to look at Romans 10 and verse 1. It said, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I wonder tonight, do we fear people dying in their sin and burning in hell forever? We talk about it a lot. But what are we doing about it? I wonder, do we fear enough that we would go to the extent that Paul did in 1 Corinthians 2, look over there if you would, and what he made this statement. Do we fear that much of our moms and our dads dying in their sin? Or do we fear enough our brothers and sisters, our nieces and nephews, our aunts and our uncles? What about your neighbors that live next door to you? What about those you work with? What about those you drive by every week, week in and week out, that are walking down the road and we never stop and say anything to them? In verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. By the way, it doesn't make any difference what kind of speech we have, how good, how bad. If we have a heart for God, God will use us to reach the lost. Or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Here's Paul's fear, though, in regards to men's salvation. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you know what he was afraid of? That people would not hear the truth from the gospel, and they would hear all the lies that man is putting out there in, quote, religion, that is taking people and sending them to the devil's hell. He feared that that's all they would hear. He feared they'd follow those doctrines and they'd never hear the truth. And as a result, they'd die in their sins. But look at Romans 9 and verse 1 through 5. I want you to see what his goal was. Romans 9 and verse 1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now look at this, and I still can't even comprehend this, and I need to comprehend this just like everybody else does. He said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman according to the flesh. Do we fear people being lost to the point where we say, Lord, curse me, send me to hell in their place? We have a lot of unfounded fears. A lot. We fear we can't pay our bills, but the Bible says God will take care of every one of our needs. We fear everything under the sun, but when it comes to the things that are important and necessary to fear, we bypass. We bypass the fear of sin. We bypass the fear of glorifying God with our lives. We bypass the fear of being a castaway. We bypass the fear of people dying without Christ. And by the way, if you're saved, you've got it right here. We have the word of reconciliation. We are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Why are we not doing it? Because we don't fear. He then went on to say this in verse 4. He said, who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption? He was pointing out that it was Israel originally that God's finger was on. It was God's people. They were the ones he loved. Still loves, by the way. We better be careful what we support when they're putting down Israel and they're talking against Israel. We better hold the people of Israel up, and we better pray for peace in Israel. We better pray for salvation in Israel. He said, who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? What was the promise given to Israel? It was Christ. And Paul took it seriously. He said, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, when his overall God bless forever, amen. I wonder tonight, do we really fear what's right? I look back here and I see the singing group and all these young people in here tonight. It's a different generation today. And I wish our young people could take on what Paul has given about this thing of fear, that young people would fear sin. If our young people don't get a grip and fear sin, we're not going to have a next generation to stand in these pulpits. If we don't get a younger generation that has the fear that their life will not glorify God, our Christianity could go by in one generation. Or that fear that they're going to be a castaway after all that Christ has done on the cross. And then the fear when he has made us the ambassadors for the greatest king that's ever been and given us the greatest commission and gave us the greatest equipment, and we will not use it for his glory. Paul's fears were not directed to the flesh or self. They were directed to the spiritual things of life. I wonder, do we fear as Paul those things that will influence people for eternity? Simple. The key goes all the way back to Sunday. It all has to do with the Holy Spirit of God. He's not a mystical cloud floating overhead. He's not some mystical thought we have in our mind. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, just as much God as all the rest. And we saw this last night, that we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if we are not filled with the Spirit of God, we are out of the will of God, and we cannot be used to the very best for God's glory. And we fear mice? And we fear rats? We fear the snake and the little spider? But yet we don't fear the things that are going to count most. I hope tonight you'll consider that. And what the key is tonight is this, is to be a partaker of what Paul did, is to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot impress that enough this week. It's the total surrender of throwing up the hands and say, I give up. I am not going to try to do it on my own anymore. And I'm going to surrender and submit, yield to the authority of the Spirit of God that lives inside. Do you realize what he wants to do for us and what he longs to do for us? to shut down because we do not fear and we will not surrender and we will not yield. Let's bow our heads.